Now back to Inside Hillcat Nation with your host and the voice of the Hillcats, Josh Haley.
We're back on Inside Hillcat Nation, joined now by Hillcat softball head coach Andrea Vaughn and shortstop Sabrina Anguiano. Thank you both very much for being here with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So, Coach, one thing that's very exciting that's right here upon us that starts officially today on Monday is the Red and Navy series. Talk to us a little bit about how that came about.
Well, normally at this time, we're playing other JUCOs and playing outside competition. But due to the circumstances, me and my staff, we were just trying to come up with a way to create some competition this fall. We've probably inter-squatted more than ever in the history since I've been the head coach. But, you know, we just decided to, like I said, do something that's going to bring some competition. We're going to have umpires. We're going to be in full uniforms. I know a lot of our families, the families from the players are coming up. So it's just to create some excitement again and to just compete.
And for you, Sabrina Anguiano, the ability to have that competition in the fall right now with no exhibitions to be played, how big is this for the group to be able to have that and kind of get a real game feel?
I think it's really important for our team chemistry right now because, of course, we can't play the JUCOs like we did last year, but we're able to play ourselves and being ranked, you know, number 17th in the nation. I think that's probably one of the best competition we can have is within ourselves, just to really challenge everyone, whether you're going against your best friend in the position on the other team or you're just playing like, you know, the freshmen trying to get them into the groove of how we do things. But overall, I think this is really important for us because a lot of teams don't have this opportunity. Like all my friends back home in California are all doing online stuff right now. They're not getting this chance that I'm getting. So it's definitely, we're able to take advantage of this opportunity we have and just keep moving forward with it.
You mentioned the ranking last year whenever the season ended that Hillcat softball was consistently being in the top 25 and ultimately up to number 17. For you, being your first year last year, I mean, it had to have been kind of a lot of thoughts in your mind of what could we have done had the season carried out.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that thought has ever stopped for any of us, really. We were always thinking, like, man, we could have just continued to keep going so far. And I think that for now, we're able to realize where we were at and how much further we can go. And then now we just continue to work from there. So we're putting in that work to get us even further in it and go against those teams that might have beat us last year. And just, even though we didn't get to play as many as we wanted to, still, we lost a few games that we shouldn't have. So I think going against those teams again will be important for us to get those dubs.
And knowing that some of the seniors that had that extra year of eligibility granted by the NCAA elected to come back, does that really make it feel like, okay, now we do get to see what this team from last year could have done?
I think we get a 50% of it because we did lose two of them, which are also important parts in our team as well. But we get to honor them today, which will be nice. But having Danelle and Abby come back, that leadership that we got from both of them behind the plate and on their bats alone is just going to be really important for us because we get to have those big bats still in our lineup. Not that we were losing much because we did gain a few bats as well on our freshman class, but I think just having that leadership from them to have them help guide the rest of the younger ones through it.
And Coach Vaughn, with last year, there was already some big time wins coming over ranked opponents last year. Your team was in the top 20. Did you expect that group to be able to mesh that well that quickly last year when you brought in some newcomers like Sabrina Anguiano?
Honestly, I think my expectations were pretty high, even though some of the things that we accomplished, they were very exciting and they were surprising, just because we kind of reached another milestone in the program. But I knew what Sabrina was going to bring, you know, to our program, and you know, not just leadership, but you know, a strong bat, great presence at shortstop, just a solid all-around player. So, you know, just all the pieces that I knew could, you know, fit together and work together, it didn't surprise me, but it was very exciting, you know, to see us reach that milestone. And I'm excited to see our new pieces plug in and, like Sabrina said, pick up where we left off.
What about some of the newcomers that are now in their very first year with this program? What are some of the headlines from that incoming class that you feel like can be able to contribute?
They're very athletic, very well-rounded. Again, you know, I can say that for our entire team, that we're all very versatile. And I will say that about this incoming class as well. We've got some really big sticks that we're going to be able to plug in into the lineup, and just overall athleticism. So I'm really excited to see how they plug in.
And Sabrina Anguiano, from your standpoint, what do you see from some of these newcomers?
At first, we saw a lot of nerves, and we had to make sure just to, like, talk them, especially me, at least for what I could do, is just trying to talk them through and let them know that, you know, this is where you want to make the mistakes. This is where you want to make those errors, those dumb errors, and all those other drop balls and all this other stuff. You'd want to make them now during the fall, so that way, and get comfortable, so that way now when we get into the spring and when we come back and start up again, we know, like, we already made those errors beforehand, we made those problems beforehand, and we know how to solve them. So if they do happen to happen again in the spring, we're able to figure out that solution faster than just panicking right away. So just assuring them that they know that it's okay to make errors.
I know this group, it was very tight. There was a lot of team camaraderie going on, and we definitely saw some things on social media that were really cool last year after the season had gotten canceled. But talk about just some of the things that happened between the team to kind of stay connected even after the season ended.
Well, besides those videos, I think majority of us still, like, well, I know the Californians too for that part, we still met up majority of the time. We met up to go play catch, we met up to go hit or anything, even hang out. And I know I could say the same for all the Oklahomans and the Texans out here too, because we're just a really great group of girls together, honestly. Like, I don't think, how you've said, like, we mesh together so fast, so easily, and I don't think I've ever experienced that before, so it wasn't really expected. But to see how fast and how easy we just come together and we're able to play as one, it's just, it's a great feeling.
And coach, the same question for you is we did see, you know, quite a few things, and now hearing, of course, that these players voluntarily they elected to stay connected, they wanted to be connected.
They are a tight-knit group, and I do think that speaks to how, like you said earlier, well we meshed, and how easily we came together. And ultimately, that is the most important thing when you're trying to, you know, go far into a season and make the playoffs. You have to gel and you have to mesh. I think as soon as the cancellation of our season, you know, I went into a mode of, okay, how can I keep their unity? How can I keep their minds on softball and not go into, I guess you would say, a pit of despair. And so, you know, some of the social media things that we did, the pass the ball challenge, that was fun. We piggybacked on some of the other programs that we saw doing the same thing. so that was, you know, a fun way to see each other again. We did have a Zoom meeting where we all got to see each other and really meet the newcomers for the first time. That was through Zoom. And then also the We Are One challenge, or not challenge, but We Are One video that we put together over the summer. I thought that speaks volumes to just our team diversity and our unity. So that was fun. Both of those projects were a lot of fun.
They were fun to watch as well. And an invite to the fans out there that you can still check those out on social media on @RSUSoftball. What has training been like, and how has COVID affected that? Is there anything that you cannot do right now that you normally would be doing in the fall, other than we talked about the exhibition games?
Honestly, we've tried to stay out of the weight room. We have kind of modified how we're conditioning. So we've been outside a lot. And I think that's brought something different also to the program. But really, we've tried to just stay the course and stay on track and try to keep everything as normal as possible and just celebrate the fact that we do get to practice, and celebrate the fact that all of us are healthy. And so trying to take advantage of that, because we do know there are a lot of schools out there that aren't able to do what we're able to right now. And so I think it's really kind of pushed us in a sense of just working harder and taking advantage of this time. So
We're talking with RSU softball head coach Andrea Vaughn and also shortstop Sabrina Anguiano. For you, once it was official that athletes can come back in the fall and begin practicing in the fall, that had to have been a really exciting moment for you and the rest of the team to know we're getting back in the flow of things now.
Oh, yeah, especially because they had just announced in California that all fall sports were completely canceled and that everything was going strictly online. So, like, my main things that I would do before I went to school would be practicing with my JUCO again, getting myself prepared, getting myself ready. That way, you never really miss a step when you come back. But not getting that, it was really difficult for me at the beginning because you kind of lose, as hard as it is to say, but in reality, you start to lose a little bit of motivation because you had so long. We had like 5 months being home, doing nothing, especially, like I said, in California, there's a lot more restrictions. But thankfully to my dad, I would have to say him being on my butt and telling me not to be lazy, making me go outside and help him give lessons and then getting my work in on top of it. It really helped me stay on top of things. And then having some of my friends from here, like the baseball guys, they came down and visit a lot. So like getting them to get me out of the bed and get going is also something that helped me through it.
You're a transfer from Fullerton College, native of Riverside, California. Long ways away from home, but one of the first memories I have last year is at some games in Oklahoma City. And there is the proud parents of Sabrina Anguiano there. How special was that for you to be able to have your family there in the stands watching you, you know, being so far away from home?
Oh, man, it gets me emotional, honestly, because, like, I'm coming to the last of my years, especially taking the extra year, and it's like, this is it for me. Like, my grandma and everybody, like, they watch online, my sister, my niece, everybody. I get that support, whether it's on through text messages after the games. My dad loves to text me during the games. That way I have some criticism to read after, and my mom is always sending me motivational things before and after games as well. So it just gets me emotional to know, like, I'm not there with them right now, but, you know, they're always here with me.
And, Coach, for a player like Sabrina, it's one of the coolest recruiting stories that I've ever heard anywhere. But you were initially recruiting her before you got her to come here. And then a lot of time passed, and then you saw her and saw that she was kind of still around. How? Kind of walk us through that.
Yeah, it's a really cool story because I was in Kansas City, recruiting and watching a tournament, and I saw Sabi, and she was still in high school, and I even met her dad, and we talked, and her and I also talked over the phone because I was trying to get her to come out for a visit, and you know, just really saw something special in her, even, you know, back in her high school years. But she decided that RSU wasn't quite the right fit at the time. She wanted to go in athletic training, and we didn't really have that at the time. So some years passed, and I was actually out in California watching the JUCO state tournament, and I was actually watching a pitcher, and I realized that it was Sabrina at shortstop. And, you know, I had lost contact with her and everything. And I noticed, you know, just her, it was actually her prep, like before the pitch happened, she does this little bounce back and forth. And I said, I recognize that and realized that it was her. And we were able to reconnect. And here she is today in the athletic training program that they just developed. So really cool story. I always tell her, you were meant to be here. And so it was a cool story.
Yeah, it's worked out rather well. Last year, Sabrina, in your Hillcat debut, you went 2 of 3, drew a couple of walks, scored twice, stole a base. Was everything kind of downhill from there, or was there not even any first game nerves to shake off?
Oh, no, there's always nerves, especially being in the leadoff position. Oh, man, the things that were going through my body alone was just so nerve-wracking. But, you know, I've been playing this game for a long time now, so you kind of learn to fight through all those nerves, those anything doubtful you feel in yourself. So I know how good I can be and how good I am, and not even trying to sound cocky in it. I'm just confident in myself now after playing this for so long. So after all the work I've put in, you know, coming into, and this is what I work for, these games and whatnot, and for all the people who have doubted me before in my life and told me I would never be an infielder, I was never going to do much in my life. So that's something that I always use to motivate me to get me through any types of those situations, to prove them, like, you know, I'm here for a reason and I'm going to prove that.
Coach, she's part of a defensive unit that can make some outstanding plays. We know how good the pitching is here and how good the pitching has been, but the defensive unit, when the ball's put in play, is pretty darn good too.
Yeah, I mean, I will never apologize for bragging on Sabrina. You know, she really is the total package over there. She's the best shortstop, you know, that I've coached since being here at RSU. And, you know, not only does she, you know, just is a great defensive player, she brings a lot of energy to the game. That's one thing that I talk about a lot. And she brings that leadership. She's always talking. She's always leading. She's kind of that glue, you know, in the infield that we need. She does a fantastic job for us.
How did COVID affect recruiting for you at all, or if at all, Coach? Did it make any changes to the way that you had to do things? I know that the dead period dates in the NCAA were changed multiple times due to everything, but how was it affected for you?
It affected quite a bit, actually. You know, I watched a lot of games on Zoom, Athletes Go Live and some of the other outlets that they used. But it's hard to tell on video. You know, they did allow camps, and so we did work a lot of camps, and so that allowed us to be able at least get out and be around those athletes. But it really shut down, you know, a lot of ways that we normally recruit. And me, I'm a big proponent of getting out and watching them in an uncontrolled environment, which is a game, and seeing how they react and, you know, all of those things that come into gameplay. And when you don't get to do that, it really, for me, it put a lot of things on hold.
You were able to have the Fall Prospects Camp, and I know that's something that you're very passionate about and that's been happening for a long time. Tell us a little about that.
Our prospect camps, we started those back in 2017, and they've really grown a lot. Every time I open up a new camp, I think, oh gosh, how are we going to fill this up? And, you know, we generally always have 50 to 60 players that are interested, and they're because they're interested in RSU. So it's been a great thing for our program. It's been a great fundraiser for our program. And I get so much good feedback on how we run those camps, because the campers, they get a tour, we feed them lunch, they get to interact with our girls, they get to play, they get an evaluation sheet at the end. So I think we really do a great job. I think the word has spread. And, you know, a lot of times they fill up and I can't even open up more spots to get more kids in. So it's been a really positive thing for our program.
And Sabrina, for you, when you get to be around those players who do have that desire to play at the next level per se, do you see yourself in those players at all? Like, I remember being there a short time ago and here's how I can help you.
Although it does feel like a long time ago, you can see it in them. They're so nervous. They come in and they want to just prove themselves so much. And it always cracks me up, because when we have to do our side, we're not evaluating them over there, but they're like all out, you know, humming the ball in at like 5 feet away. And I have to just remind them, like, you know, just take your time, relax, it's fine. I promise you that you guys are doing way better than what I would have done at their age, because usually have like 13, 14 year olds coming. I didn't start going to those things until I was like 15, 16. So they're 20 steps ahead of where I was.
Coach, for the MIAA, last year was the first year to be in the MIAA. Didn't really get into things too deep and kind of experience that conference, but the way that the conference schedule lines out is you get basically two games against each opponent in the conference. Does that put added emphasis on every game, seeing as how you only get two shots at everybody?
It really does. It really heightens the importance of each conference game. I do feel that the less times they can see Morales, I think the better going into the playoffs. And I do feel like we always have a great shot to win when we have her on the mound. And I'm expecting big things again from Michaela Hillman. And then we've also added Delaney Fries from Fort Scott, who I think is going to really surprise a lot of people. So with our pitching, I feel like it's a little bit of an advantage for us if we show up and if we put everything together. But yeah, I mean, it could go both ways. It could be a disadvantage. It could be an advantage. I think for us personally, it's always going to be an advantage.
Season can't come fast enough. February is when softball should officially kick off. Sabrina Anguiano, Coach Andrea Vaughn, thanks for being with us today. That's all the time we've got on Inside Hillcat Nation. Thanks for being with us, and you can check it out on your favorite podcast platform as well. Until then, Josh Haley saying so long for RSU Radio.
Inside Hillcat Nation is produced at RSU Radio. All of the music on this episode was provided by the band Bringer. Tune in next week and every Friday at 1 for more Inside Hillcat Nation.